Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Or Russell Westbrook just went down the paint, flushed it in the dude's face. Overtime.
It is, they too old?
No, sir.
Yeah. I'm Malcolm. Welcome, of course, to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it feels like this year is just like flying by. I mean, again, wrapping up the month of October. We're heading into November, Thanksgiving, and then, you know, Christmas, and just crazy. So, but again, have a lot of good stuff. And let's go around the horn, check in, fellas, because we have a lot of things to discuss. Got to talk about some World Series talk. Got to talk about the Bayou Bengals. Got to talk about what's happening on the NBA front, college football. What's going to happen with your boy James Franklin, Tomlin? We got a lot of things to discuss, gentlemen. So right out the gate, JQ representing the Bengals hardcore. What's up, sir? How you doing today?
I can't complain. You know I can't complain. My Buckeyes won, the Bearcats won, my Bengals win the Baltimore. I put a smackdown on those Ravens. I knew that was going to be a good litmus test for us. I didn't see that coming, but I will most definitely take it. I am good. I'm going to be a little worried about this weekend.
So on cloud nine, oh, they're going to beat the Jets.
Are we on?
Zach Wilson. They're going to bring in Joe Flacco out of retirement, basically.
But you know what? The thing about it is the same thing that we said about them this week as we said that about the Ravens last week when they beat the breaks off the Chargers and they came out laying their eggs. So that's my worry. Mm-hmm. Plus, my Buckeyes got to play Penn State, and you know they're going to be mad because I've never seen a team score 19 points and win in 9 overtimes. That's the wildest shit I've ever seen in life.
I know Ohio State's going to beat the 2 out of Penn State.
I hope so. But asking for 2 good weekends in a row, you know, I feel like Dre when you talk about his Atlanta teams. I feel that way about my Ohio team. Sometimes they throw you a curveball when you respect it.
Yeah, you're like stressed. You're like this level. You're like, we won. But you never know. So we're trying to get,
right,
you know, the DNA of certain squads, you know, having certain winners and whatever, too. So, you know, it's all good. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, feeling good, man. You know, ready to get this show on the road.
Gary, how you feeling, man? Cowboys. Oh, they didn't play, man. But that's okay.
They needed a break. Feeling pretty good. Is Curtis on the line yet?
Yeah, I just made it.
Okay, Curtis, I'm going to this is a really a night to celebrate for us on this show. Curtis was diagnosed with ALS 3 years ago. And I'm going to give you exactly what his diagnosis was. When he was diagnosed, that he would be in a wheelchair and not be able to get out of that wheelchair on his own or even with assistance in 1 year, and he would pass away in 3 years. Mm. On the 22nd of this month, Curtis hit that 3-year mark. With assistance, he can still get up out of his chair, and he's still living proud. And so I am very proud of him. The battle that he's put on has been far more than anything we could talk about on tonight's show or any of the shows that we've spoke about. That is our champion for the evening right there, Curtis McDaniels.
Amen to that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Amen to that. I always say you never believe the report of the doctor. You believe the report of the Lord. And so that is a true blessing. So definitely keep fighting, Curtis. That's an amazing story to share as part of the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Curtis. I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I say, I'm so happy to be here. I really mean it. And you guys have done the journey with me. And I'm thinking, I've been on the show for 3 years.
Wow.
Because it was a meeting after I was diagnosed that we come out, we got on the show, Gary and I. Mm. Yay.
Wow.
Yay. That's right. Yay.
Yeah, you got to hold on so we can celebrate and get that drink in person. So that's what we got to hold on to for sure, because that's coming.
Yeah, that's what we got to do.
Whether we're in Florida, Portland, wherever we got to be, you know, so we got to make that happen too,
yeah.
Fellas. We got to celebrate and just to have that amazing moment, you know. So again, just it's a privilege and an honor to have you with us, Curtis. As Gary said, you know, obviously, it tells a comparison talking sports, but we do enjoy this time to come together, see each other, and just you know, just talk about some sports and have a good time too. So you know. I'm just thrilled beyond. There's not even a lot of words I can say to that too. So, but yeah.
All right, let's get to
more inspiring.
Yeah, it is. Well, like I said, without further ado, we have a lot of things to discuss as we mentioned, and let's kind of start off the show with what's happening right now with the World Series, and just a quick update on the Braves and Astros. And I know you said it earlier, JQ, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to come on the show and be excited or kind of, you know, whatever, but obviously it's never over till it's over in the life of an Atlanta fan. Right now we're holding on to a 5-1 lead. Top of seven looks like, you know, obviously Rosario, the NCS MVP, just got a double. So, again, we're looking pretty good right now too. So, obviously, you know, it's tough because the Astros are a very dangerous lineup, obviously. We came away from that with the Dodgers. But right now, again, just got to keep playing, keep scoring. And this team does feel like it has kind of a different DNA from teams of the past, too. So I'm excited. But,
yeah.
Again, I'm very cautiously optimistic, if you will, too. So I don't know if you want to kind of go around the horn with that, JQ, your thoughts. And, you know,
yeah.
We won't spend too much time on this, but just want to talk about that, if you will. So yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, man, you know, three pitches into the game, Soler with an absolute blast to get him on the board, right? And then you get Duvall with a two-run home run. You know, this the first team, I think, to score in the first three innings of the World Series ever. I know it's a crazy stat, but still, you know, that's a way to come out on the road, like you said, against a very, very dangerous Astros lineup. Slight concern for Atlanta, though, because it's being reported that Charlie Morton broke his leg on that comebacker, and he's out in the series,
yeah.
As you would imagine. So that's a tough blow. They need to hang on to win this game. They're going to have to try to figure out some things. I don't know if anybody's going to go on short rest, you know, if the series gets extended. So we'll see how that turns out. But he was pitching a good game. I hate to see him go out like that. But, you know, so far so good for the Bravos. That's a way to come out on the road and try to steal game one, see if they can hold on.
Yeah, we can get some people. We can bring up some pitchers, too, as well, if that's needed, too, to add to the roster. If so we'll see if it's Tuki Toussaint or who's going to be. You know, we've got it, Mueller, so I don't know if it's going to be Wright or another guy, too. So we'll see what's happening with that's a devastating blow as well. But he pitched his heart out. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, no, I think you guys, you know, covered it quite well. I mean, obviously, you know, Soler, you know, to start the game off, first one in Major League Baseball history to start a World Series off with a home run. So that's, you know, incredible and got the Braves going.
First time in history.
In the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. First time in history, the World Series starts off with a home run. So that's an incredible feat. You got him going in the right direction. And obviously, been getting some pretty good pitching in this game.
Really?
So, you know, yeah, everything is rolling for him right now. So, we'll see. Obviously, it's a long series. A lot of baseball to be played, so we'll see what happens. And, you know, Dusty Baker, you got to give him kudos for getting the Astros.
Absolutely.
72 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, he just kind of stabilized their organization, you know, after what happened in 2017 and 2018 with the you know, the scandal, of course, and in regards to the stealing signs and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And he kind of just, you know, brought some more class to the organization. And and I believe he's one of only 9 managers to win the pennant in both American League and National League. So, you know, obviously phenomenal feat and doing it at his age. Even last year, I mean, he went 29-31 in the COVID-shortened season. You know, won in the wild card round and won in the divisional round until the Rays eliminated him in the ALCS. So he's done a phenomenal job, you know, getting that organization to stabilize a little bit and kind of recover a little bit from the sign stealing scandal. So a lot of baseball to be played left, but as you all covered, Braves looking good so far in this one.
Well, it's like this, you know, when you're playing a 7-game series, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever, you want to get that first win. You know, it's getting in there, proving to yourself that you belong, and getting in there and getting that W. And right now, you know, their bats are active for, you know, the Braves, and, you know, and it's showing on the scoreboard. So a lot of times that, you know, it doesn't equate to runs, but in this case, you know, that's a good start. As far as Dusty Baker, you know, he spent 19 years in the league as a player, and you know, and then he he managed all these three-time manager of the year, 93, 97, 2000. So it doesn't surprise me that he was able to go in and do what he's done with the Astros. Good for him. I'm not picking him to win the World Series. The Braves are going to win it. But good job for him.
Wow. Appreciate that. What do you got, Curtis?
Curtis, you there?
Yeah, there he is. Okay.
What I want to say is he's fantastic. That cheating scandal. But then it wasn't that cheating scandal.
I hear Lou.
Yeah. Good for them. If they were the ones, and I believe they were, in that cheating scandal thing, to get past that and be here. That stadium looks awesome. Man, do you see that stadium?
It does.
Boy, that's a trip I might want to make to just see it. How they built it and what it looks like. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
But Atlanta, because they haven't been there so long, I would like to see them win this. I would like Atlanta to be them. And I think that would be good for baseball. They got the Dodgers finally. Get Houston. And the world would be right. Delta over United.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
They partying like it's 1999 in Atlanta. They playing that 15 song, you know, last time the Braves been in the World Series, 1999.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's crazy about Dusty Baker? You know, the people, I didn't know that he was on deck when Hank Aaron hit, you know, the home run to
the home run.
The top of Babe Ruth. That's wild. That's a wild story. And when he was the manager of the Reds, you know, I don't know if you know Dusty Baker's from Mobile, and my dad is from Mobile, and they both have a friend in common. My dad used to go down there a lot with his friend, and Dusty would let them come hang out in the clubhouse afterwards. Then I asked my dad, I was like, man, you didn't give me no ball or no bat or nothing sign. I'm the biggest Reds fan you know. You know, this is when they have, you know, Votto and Brandon and, you know, and Jay Bruce. I was like, come on, Dad. He's like, oh, I forgot. And then he do it again. Oh, I forgot. I was like, come on, bro.
Yeah. That's messed up, man.
How you gonna do me like that?
I like it. And no, you had some good, that's a good tie too. Him and he was really good friends with Hank Aaron. He actually, like you talked about, he made his first appearance in Major League Baseball in 1968. for the Braves and obviously playing for 19 years and then just kind of interesting. And I know the tie with you, JQ, you know, obviously being the manager for the Reds, the Giants. So it's an interesting situation that he did kind of stabilize the, you know, the Astros after that, just horrific, you know, just scandal with them too. So it's tough, you know, so we have this kind of interesting kind of bond here. We kind of hope that it is our year for the Braves in Atlanta. But again, as an Atlanta fan, you just never know. You never feel comfortable, if you will, until it actually happens too. So I'm just going to talk really quickly about Tyler Matzek. And pretty much all the left-handed pitching that we have for the Braves has been doing phenomenal. But, you know, he's been, pulling up my stats here, I think, he's pitched 10.5 innings. He's only allowed 4 hits, 2 runs, 17 strikeouts, and only 4 walks too. So you talk about just the guy that's been pretty dominant in the postseason. AJ Minter at the time was the second best. You know, obviously, for tonight, he had 8 innings, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts, and again, 2 base on balls. And then I'm not going to talk about Will Smith because he's kind of up and down. But again, he hasn't allowed any runs, even though he's literally given me a lot of heart attacks, if you will. But the left-handed pitching for the bullpen has been pretty stellar, if you will, and that's definitely how you can, again, advance. As you talk about, Gary, fingers crossed as far as making sure that we're able to get to the bullpen, and we'll see how it plays out for our starting pitching as well, too.
And you forget the Matzek also is the one that – the Matzek is the one that basically stopped that Dodgers rally in Game 6.
True.
That helped him get to this point because, you know, he came in and for Luke Jackson, I believe it was, and got 2 strikeouts to end that, where all the Braves fans were sitting there like, oh, my God, here we go again. And he came out, so you got to give him a special shout-out for, you know, really being a callous at that point to get them to this point.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who was out of the major leagues for a little while, too. You know, he got drafted in the first round in 2011 by the Colorado Rockies. He was the starting pitcher for the Rockies. And now to revitalize his career with the Braves as a reliever, and as you all mentioned, doing a phenomenal job and stabilizing that bullpen for the Braves.
It's been good. Thanks for stopping, Raleigh. All right, that's my little 2 cents on that too. Let's kind of get moving here. We got a lot of things to talk about, if you will. There's some interesting candidates for USC. I want to talk about that. You know, get the West Coast opinions on this, and you know, Mike Tomlin has said, you know, I'm not a candidate for the USC job. And then you obviously hear some rumblings about James Franklin. And after the way Penn State couldn't handle, you may want to consider that, you know, but USC and LSU on the cusp too. So let's talk about that in the college football front too. So go ahead, Rob, let you kick it off, and then we'll go to West Coast and bring it back around to you at JQ. And I know we've got Lou on the line too, so maybe he has some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, the rumors about Mike Tomlin going to USC, I mean, they just need to stop it. He's not going to college football. I mean, the Steelers are not getting rid of Mike Tomlin. He's going to be right there with the Steelers. So, I mean, that could stop right there. I mean, Mike Tomlin's not going to college football. James Franklin, I think he is one of the leading candidates for the USC job. There's no question about it. Do I think he's the guy that USC needs? No, I really don't. USC, I still think, needs an elite football coach to rebuild that, you know, school to its football glory. And I don't think James Franklin is that guy. I really don't. I think he's a good football coach. I think he'll be competitive. But he's not the guy that's going to bring them back to elite status in college football. I really don't. But he is a leader. He's more of a leading candidate for USC than he is for LSU. You know, Scott Woodford, I think he's going to shoot for the fences at LSU. You know, he hired Chris Peterson from Washington. He hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. You know, he may kick the tires with those guys. I even hear he wants to have a conversation with Dabo Sweeney. I'm not even sure Dabo Sweeney is the answer for LSU, believe it or not, even with all the success he's had in Clemson. So I'm not even sure if that's the guy I would want to go to LSU, even though it seems to be his number one guy right now he's going to shoot for. Is Dabo Sweeney. But I think Franklin is more of a leading candidate for USC than he is for LSU at the moment. I think Scott Woodward is definitely trying to hit a home run at LSU. What that looks like, I don't know. I don't know if it looks like Jimbo Fisher or does it, you know, is it Dave Aranda or is it Joe Brady or is it Dabo Sweeney? Who knows? But I think he's definitely trying to shoot for a home run candidate at LSU.
Yeah, man. Penn State every year has one of these losses, and that definitely won't fly at LSU. You know, if you go in there and try and lose to Arkansas, Mississippi State for no reason because you're looking ahead to Alabama or Auburn or something. If James Franklin does this every year at Penn State, he has a loss. You look at him and say, you got way too much talent for that to happen. So I can't see him even being on the short list at LSU because of that. USC may get a little desperate. James Franklin is an elite recruiter. I will give him that. That dude recruits his butt off. You see the dudes that have come out, the Saquons, you know, the Godwins of the world that have gone into the league. So Penn State gets their fair share of athletes and ones that go to the league. So I'll give him that piece of it. But in terms of an in-game, you know, XNL coach, they just always seem to have a game where they fall flat. Like, they went to 9 overtimes, bro, and they scored 16 points. I've never seen no shit like that. Like, that's wild. 16 points in 9 overtimes? Like that is ridiculous. If you watch that game, they set football back about 60 years. They was running and, you know, with 3, you know, 9 offensive linemen and just running it 100 times in the middle. It was wild. I couldn't turn my eyes off.
You know that's Big Ten football, JQ.
Man, nobody does that no more, bro. They had like 8 offensive linemen, both of them. They were just running the ball. I don't know if anybody can shoot for over 100 yards. It's crazy. So that's not going to fly at LSU or USC. So I don't think so. I'm with you. And Mike Tomlin, you know, as much as I hate the Steelers, if you look at, you know, 3 or 4 of the, you know, noteworthy blue blood franchises, you know, you got the Steelers, you got the Cowboys, you know, you got those teams that ever leave the Steelers to go Green Bay, go coach in college. Like, I just don't see that as that's not even a lateral move. That's a backwards move. I mean, you got one of the best 32 jobs in the country, and if you talk about that, you're talking about one of the top 5, you know, given their, you know, their fan base and their history. So I just don't even understand how that even comes up. I could see USC once talk to him, of course, but I can't see Mike Tomlin giving that unless something's going on with the Rooney family that they keep him super under wraps. I just can't understand why he would do that.
Yeah, and plus the Steelers are a stable organization, too. They don't get rid of coaches every 2 or 3 years.
Three coaches.
Tomlin,
that's
three
coaches.
Tomlin is the third longest tenured coach in the league behind Belichick and Sean Payton right now. I mean, you know, he will go to college, and, you know, if he don't win in the first 2 years, he's on a hot seat. If he goes to USC, he can don't perform. Right, I mean, he's in a stable situation right now, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, he can go 8-8, 9-7 this year. Well, there's no more 8-8, 9-7. I'm sorry. He can go 9-8 or 10-7, and he's still going to be the Steelers head football coach at the end of this season.
He can go
8-9 and still be the coach.
What he said on an article was he said, "You got to be joking. You got to be kidding me, right?" You know, so I can see any college program wanting a coach like that, but with the Steelers not making those coaching changes like they do. They keep with the coach, and they've got a Super Bowl winning, proven Super Bowl winning coach. They've got a coach that's, you know, that's got a really good resume. He's not going anywhere. As far as USC, I don't know who is going to be coaching USC or LSU. I know JQ had a very sexy pick last week in what, Jimbo Fisher? Is that was your second pick of the week? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably a pretty high candidate with LSU, I would imagine. As far as
LSU.
Jumping forward to the topic of the University of Miami, they'll probably make a play for Cristobal out of Oregon. He comes from that organization. And
I believe too.
I think that if he's going to go, if he would go anywhere, I don't think he'd jump to any organization, but I do think he'd consider making that move to the University of Miami, which would be tough.
I think he would even consider USC, believe it or not. He's
a great coach for the Ducks. What's that?
Yeah. I think if USC comes calling for Mario, I think he listens too. I really do.
I mean,
let's face it, USC is a more attractive job than University of Miami. And if USC comes calling, I think he listens. But I could definitely see him listening to the University of Miami, too. I really could see that in that scenario, too. Cristobal is going to be a hot name in this offseason, too. I can see USC and Miami talking to him.
What you didn't see, or yeah, you did see it, you're on this. If you saw JQ roll his eyes when you said that he would listen to USC, that's how he would listen to that head coaching offer for USC. He would roll his eyes. He's not leaving Oregon for USC. Not at this
USC
point. No way.
Is a better job than Oregon.
USC is a better job.
Backyard.
USC is a better job.
Well, they got that field night money now, so I don't know. I mean, that might be us being old saying that. I didn't roll my eyes at that. I rolled my eyes at the USC job being better than Miami. I think the Miami administration is killing the Miami program right now, what they have going on. But Miami has a very storied history, too, and he was a part of that with Jimmy Johnson. Okay. So that's why I'm in agreement that I think he gives Miami, because he, you know, deep in his soul, he hates to see Miami struggle like that. It means a whole lot to him.
Yeah.
It'd be tough for me to see him go in conference and go down the road to go to USC and leave Oregon. That would shock me if he did that. I mean, money talks for Phil Knight got a lot of money, too. That's why I was like,
yeah,
but the Miami one probably pulls at his heartstrings, you know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing you got to remember. You think about Los Angeles and you think about Miami and those recruiting bases, it's going to be easier for him to recruit in both of those schools than it would be in Oregon. I mean, Oregon does not produce the local football talent. And you look at that roster right there.
Sure.
I mean, almost 80 to 85% of that roster is not even from the state of Oregon. So he'll have, it'll be easy for him to recruit and easier for him to be successful. And so
he
hasn't had any problem recruiting in
Oregon whatsoever. He's done a phenomenal job. He's in what, top 5 or 6 or 7 in recruiting in the nation in Oregon.
Nope.
So,
I agree. Oregon is a school that's going to be able to recruit, but trust me, if he can recruit at Oregon, he's going to be able to recruit even better at a school like USC in Miami. Trust me. When the talent is in your backyard.
Yeah. True, but the only thing I say about that, I think, is Oregon has established themselves enough as a player, especially with those boys in California, that they don't have that stigma of going up to Oregon now to go play. You know, they get all those flash uniforms, they get all that hot Nike stuff. I think 10, 20 years ago, you'd be right. I think now they've got an established California pipeline. But, yeah, he's got to do a lot more travel to go recruit, and I'll give you that. He could stay a lot closer to home, you know, in L.A. and Miami to recruit than he does in Oregon. But I don't think – you know, they have that problem now to get kids to come from California. If you look at their roster, it's probably mostly kids from California.
They got a lot of California and Texas kids on that roster. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau from the L.A. area.
You know, the state of California got the most kids in the nation, got the most football teams in the nation.
Yes.
By a long shot. You recruit out of California and Texas, you lock up those kids.
Uh-huh.
You lock up a bunch of talent. Oregon, though.
Yeah.
People, Nike's a big brand. Don't kid yourself. Phil Knight and Nike's a big brand. These kids are coming to Oregon with a Nike connection. And if they don't make it to pro, they might get an executive job at Nike. So,
if you go to the Nike campus, and I've been there many, many times, you'll see a lot of former athletes that are working there. So Curtis is spot on with that. If that kid isn't quite there, but he's got that business degree or whatever, and he's got that connection to Oregon or Oregon State, which Oregon State is also playing really good football right now. Those kids, you see a lot of these big 300-pounders up there working, doing all kinds of stuff up there. It's pretty cool that you have that opportunity with that type of a global company.
Hey, you know, I was recruited at a high school. And this is what my dad told me. You know, wait a minute. You're an idiot. If you don't go to a school that tells you that after you graduate, from playing this sport, they got a connection for you to make sure you have a damn good job. That's not the school for you. And that was, my dad was telling me that back in 70, because I graduated in 79. And so I know what these kids are doing. I wasn't heavily recruited, but I was recruited. And I was recruited, the biggest school was California at Berkeley. But I also had an aunt that was dating the president of the school. That was an executive with Kaiser. So I knew what that was about. That wasn't really about me. It was about the connections I had. But Hawaii and California, Long Beach, I went to those schools.
OBC?
I saw myself getting in a lot of trouble. I saw myself, I did the campus visits with the cool guys, with the fun guys.
Campus visits.
Yay, a lot of fun. How am I going to get some grades here? No way. I'm going to lose my mind here. I might lose my life. So,
Go to Idaho. Come on, man.
Let's go to Idaho.
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of trouble can you get in Idaho? Well, guess what? When you're young and dumb, you can get in trouble in Idaho, too, which I did.
JQ, no, talking about you can't get to Iowa. ain't no brothers going to Iowa.
That's a very mature thing to say, to take yourself to Idaho, because ain't no way in the hell I would go to Idaho if I could go anywhere else.
I'm not that dumb.
You wouldn't even go to Boise,
go to Idaho.
You see the blue football field?
No, hell no. Well, I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I was up there in Seattle working, and I was going to ride around and go sightseeing. And the lady I worked with was like, "Yeah, whatever you do, don't go over to past Boise because they'd be having KKK rallies and stuff." I said, "Wait, what?" She was like, "Oh yeah, don't come over there." I was like, "Duly noted. Thank you for telling me that." So no.
In Boise? Des Moines?
That's what I was talking to somebody that lives out that way, that was from that area. So I took her word for it. And, this is about 13 years ago. I promise. I swear to God, she told me that. This is about 13 years ago.
No, I believe you. No, I'm with you.
Okay.
Right. Mm.
I heard Luke popping in too. After hearing that, I don't
agree. I'm just telling you, I promise to God, hand on Bible, that's what she told me. She was like, "Yeah, you can go ride around, but don't go that way."
But, like, where you were,
that's a long ride from Seattle, boys.
Back in the day, too. But, you know, like where you're at, JQ, I remember there, we first moved out, me and Marcy moved out there. Man, it had to be like, what? 2002 or something crazy like that, and I remember we were like, there was nothing there. There was no Gwinnett Braves. There's nothing, and so we were like, this is cool. We're gonna move out there. There's probably people out there like, what? There's a rally on our car. Like, hey, kick in rally. We're like, what? Yeah. So
wow.
Andre,
where
this
was
is where
that?
JQ was at now. This is where JQ, like, in Buford, Georgia. But this is, like, back in the day, you know. So, but it's definitely evolved more. But I just remember, like, whenever we were, like, first breaking ground, we were going to move out there. We're like, oh, this is going to be great. Nah.
Wow. Dude.
It's definitely
evolved. Wow. I can't even imagine that now. That's crazy.
Wow.
Hey,
I mean, it's not this Confederate flag.
You see the Confederate flag.
As far as this is kept, if you got a connection to the Cowboys, Jerry Jones gets you at the NFL Network, CBS, Fox. Jerry knows got some connections. And, I play for the Cowboys. Jerry, hook me up. I can't play for you forever. When I'm done, and hook me up. Same kind of
wow.
deal.
Okay.
And Jerry does a good job with that. Look at how many of the look at how many of these people are in the NFL Network. Look how many of them are on Fox. They even got Tony Romo, a top job at CBS. Jerry ain't
your guy. That's true. That's true. That's true. Another reason why you want to definitely work with the Cowboys in that juncture. They don't love Quincy Carter, though. I don't know why. Where's Quincy Carter at, guys? What happened to him?
Not Quincy Carter. Shut up.
I'm bringing back some old school names right there.
Quincy Carter.
Well, he used to Jerry Jones' brother from Quincy Carter. Remember him?
You know that guy could throw 60 yards, but you didn't know who he was throwing to.
Right.
That's okay. He had an arm, though.
Sounds like James Winston.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. It sounds like Rob's favorite guy, Jamarcus Russell, but we're not going to make him go too far back, you know. So.
Oh, no.
Marcus Russell, he couldn't stay in shape. He couldn't lose weight.
He's on that lean, baby.
Like, yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. We went a little trip down memory lane there, and that's on me. I do want to talk about a couple things here. Shout out to, JQ, we want to do the top five. Is that college football, Rob, for you for that? And then I know the Southern Miss joined the Sun Belt. And Gary and Curtis, stay tuned because I do want to hear your thoughts about, the Cardinals are continuing to trend up, if you will. So we'll talk about them, and then we definitely get some fantasy shout-outs here. But go ahead, JQ, on this particular topic here for the top five for college football, if you will.
Yeah, well, no real change at the top. Georgia, I still think, is, head and shoulders above everybody else. Cincinnati, for no good reason, struggling with Navy. But I think that was just one of those you look down to your opponent and they just found their way to win. It's the whole – that 3-7, I just would like somebody to explain to me how you come up with these things. So Oklahoma, I give you, has not been great. But they look better with Caleb Williams as quarterback, and they pulled away from Kansas. So I get that. But Alabama jumps them at 7-1, and I'm like, they've got a loss to an unranked Texas A&M team, and they jumped the undefeated Oklahoma team. And I'm like, I don't understand that. And as much as I love my Buckeyes,
Oklahoma.
Ohio State's 5 and Oregon is 7, and Oregon beat Ohio State. And I'm like, I'll take it, but I don't know how.
Actually, Texas A&M is ranked. They're not unranked.
They got ranked because they beat Alabama. They wasn't ranked when they beat them, though. That's what I'm like, come on, man. Like, that's looking at the result and justifying it. You know what
they're
I mean? Like,
20,
when they played them. They were on their back. They still a backup quarterback, and they did not look good going into the Alabama game, and they won. So I look at that. I don't know how Ohio State's above Oregon. I'll take it, but if I was an Oregon fan, that would piss me the hell off. If I was a Michigan fan, I'm sitting there at 7-0, and I'm like, how is Ohio State with a loss ahead of me, and Alabama's ahead of me with a loss to an unranked team? So I get Georgia and I get Cincinnati being 1-2, but after that, I just feel like people just went with their own agendas. And 3-7, and I'm trying to be partial, but I don't understand. If I was an Oregon fan, that would really piss me off. You know what I mean? Like, how we got the same record and we beat them. How are they ranked better than me?
I think you got to look at how the teams are playing right now too. I think you got to look at that, and I totally agree with you. Georgia is just clearly above everybody else right now. When you look at what they're, especially on the defensive side of the football, and they're getting enough offensively. And if I had to look at it objectively, I would, as far as who's playing the best right now, I would say Alabama is number two, right behind Georgia. As far as who's playing the best right now, and I would put Ohio State at number three, just based on what I see on the football field. I would put Cincinnati four, based on where they're playing right now. And I would put Michigan number five, just ahead of Oklahoma at number six. That would be my top six right now. So I would say Georgia one, Alabama two, Ohio State three, Cincinnati four, Michigan five, Oklahoma six right now.
That's tough, though, because to me, I mean, you got to take that consideration too, but they played those games in weeks 1, 2, and 3. You know what I mean? So it should be the whole resume to me as well. So when I look at that, I mean, I know you give them some bonus points if it's tight, but if I got, you know, a zero at the end of it, you got a one in the loss column right now, and I'm in a major conference, and I was ahead of you the week before, like, they still beat Kansas by double-digit points. They beat them by 45 like we thought they should have. I give you that piece of it. But you've seen Alabama, they struggled and lost to Texas A&M on the road. So, I mean, those things happen when you have to play a tighter game than you're supposed to play, but did you still find a way to win that game? So I like to look at the whole resume as well. I mean, I get you if it's close and we both got one loss or something like that, but jumping them right there and then, you know, keeping Michigan at 6 and having Ohio State above Oregon, again, I don't understand that. I feel like if Ohio State wins out, it'll take care of itself anyway. But right now, I'm looking at it like, well, we beat those dudes. And the other people are like, well, we're undefeated. And we got somebody with a loss ahead of us or somebody we beat ahead of us. Like, I don't understand the rhyme and the reason if you're looking at the whole resume as a whole. So I get what you're saying. So I guess what they're saying right now is I'm going off what happened the last 2 weeks. You know, like I started with putting them right here based off the first part of the season, and now I'm kind of going off how I feel like the offensive defense is playing for those teams. But if I'm just saying, if I was a fan – of some of those other schools, I can see where they're sitting at home and on the message boards pissed.
But you gotta look at who they lost to too. Ohio State lost to Oregon. Oregon lost to Stanford. So who's got a better loss? I mean, Stanford is an unranked football team. You gotta look at those equations too. So I mean, let's look at who Oregon lost. And if you really look at Oklahoma's schedule, who have they beat so far this year? Nobody. Texas got like 3 losses, and Oklahoma hasn't beat anybody. At least Cincinnati, you can say they beat Notre Dame, and they went on the road and whipped Notre Dame too. And so you can say that about Cincinnati.
Too.
And then Georgia, I mean, they just monkey stomping people to use one of your terms. I mean, so when you look at those undefeated teams, and then when you look at the way Ohio State has been playing lately. I mean, they've just been dump trucking people. And, you know, as much as you
can. But they ain't been playing nobody either.
Trials,
they supposed to dump truck those people. They ain't playing nobody either right now, and I get it. They're getting tuned up for the real games. But if you be honest, Tulsa and Rutgers and Maryland, they ain't playing nobody either. Like, they do what they're supposed to do, and I give you that. They're scoring 45, 50 points. But they aren't playing anybody where you're like, they're really challenging. It starts Saturday. Moving forward, we find out, is this for real against better competition? I'm nitpicking because, again, it'll work itself out. But just when I saw it come up, I was like, those 3-2-7 is kind of funky right there. I don't know if I'll agree with that, but, you know.
And I agree with you. When it's all said and done, it's going to all shake out the way it needs to shake out. It's just a little tricky right now. Yeah. I mean, you got to look at the strength of schedules. You got to look at the quality of the one-loss teams and who they lost to and things of that nature, too. So it's a lot that goes into the evaluation. But, you know, if I had to look at it right now, that would be my top six.
I got you.
Good stuff.
But even Oklahoma, I mean, they got to play Oklahoma State. I mean, they got Iowa State. So, I mean, they're going to have Baylor. Baylor's only got one loss quietly. So Oklahoma, I think we're going to see what they're made of too going down the stretch.
Agreed.
And that play Caleb Williams made taking the ball out of the running back's hand was just unbelievable.
Smart.
Never seen nothing like that before.
Spencer Rollins can go ahead and transfer tomorrow.
He's going to have to at least back up to Jalen Hurts status. He's going to have to transfer to another school. He can't go to the draft after this year. He's going to have to transfer to get his stock back up.
I agree.
Nice. But
you guys don't know out here, and you guys don't realize, because, you know, we're an afterthought in the West. But even in football, you guys kind of know about the basketball. But in football, this Pac-12 is not really a joke to win this conference. And there's a lot of teams that are always in the running to win that conference. Now, for Oregon, they did something that has happened to them a few times in history. Joy Football, they used to have a guy named Joy Harrington that Oregon and Phil Knight was trying to get a Heisman Trophy. They put him on a billboard in Times Square. Oregon's Joy Football at Times Square. He was the quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. They went to Stanford that year with them being highly ranked. And Kyle Whittingham, black coach, down from pro football, went and kicked their butt with Joy Football and his billboard at Times Square. That was the only game they lost. They went to a good bowl. I think they went to Rose Bowl and won. But, and there was another time with Locke when they had a good team.
Basically.
And they went down to Stanford and got stopped. Stanford has a bullseye on Oregon when Oregon has good teams. They seem to get them. But getting through the Pac-12, and that's what Oregon's got to do. With the other teams, they got to win their conferences. And I don't know, Michigan over Ohio State, maybe not. Alabama over Georgia, maybe not. There's going to be some losses before Oregon. Oregon run the table and win the conference. I don't know who's coming out on the other side, but I don't think they're going to be as good as Oregon. So Oregon still got a shot. They got a shot. They're right
there.
So you're
saying this chance.
Oh, they definitely do.
Yeah,
nice. Gotcha. Hey, we're about to wrap. Hey, Rob, go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs, and we'll have a brief OTU's portion. But I do want to kind of talk about what's happening with Tua Tagovailoa and what's the trade rumors here with the Dolphins and what's happening with that, too. So go ahead, Rob, with that, and we'll get you guys let you guys pick a topic as we go
right
for the OT portion.
Here we go. League number one, JQ's team, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week. 193.22 over Big Fast and Strong, 102.84. Gentilly Hot Sauce is in first place at 6-1. That's Corey from Atlanta. League number two, my team had the biggest win of the week, the Ford Administration, 154.64 over the Pellies, 59.60. JQ's team, Ohio Players, in first place at 7-0. League number three, JQ's team again had the biggest win of the week, 156.68 over Al's Cole Harlots, 58.60. And Kraken, that is Chester from New Orleans, 15-7-0 in first place. And league number four, my team again had the biggest win of the week, Flash Ford, 139.64 over Domination, 71.84. And Andre's Black Lives Matter team is in first place at 6-1. And then fantasy basketball, week number one, Andre's team had the biggest win of the week, 7-2 over JQ's team, Ohio Players. And Andre's team in first place at 7-2 in the first week of fantasy basketball. Those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week.
Rob saved you, though, Dre. Rob saved you. I had a clean sweep going until he went crazy in that Sunday night game and took over the biggest win of the week because I was going to sweep all three of those. I said, that's MF for Rob. He took my tweet. You look at that one you got, Rob. I got the second biggest win of the week. You just took it from me at the end of Sunday night. I was sitting there like, damn it. Because I knew he was going
to
get it on me. So that's all good.
Yeah. Man, it's been terrible, man. Patrick Mahomes been playing terrible for me, man. That secondly, it's just been terrible. So that was a pretty bad situation. So, but
yeah,
when that got Patrick Mahomes.
Well, the Braves have picked up another run. It's 6-1.
Yeah,
yep.
Dansby Swanson.
did that. Good stuff, man. Now, you know, you had a pretty big one, too, on something else. The other thing, I was like, damn, he kicked my ass in that one, too. So, good job, JQ. That wasn't pretty, man. But that was the Patrick Mahomes game. I ain't got no offense, man, now. So, I'm going to be struggling for a minute. So, I got to scan something, the waiver wire, to find somebody.
They'll get it together.
Terrible.
Hey, damn, hey, Andre, I want to do the top five teams, NFL.
Good. Good.
All right, I'm going to do ESPN's top five first. ESPN has Arizona at one, Tampa Bay at two, Rams at three, Cowboys at four, Green Bay at five. USA Today, Arizona at one, Rams at two, Tampa Bay at three, Dallas at four, Green Bay at five. Sports Nation has Arizona 1, Rams at 2, Tampa Bay at 3, Bills at 4, and Green Bay at 5.
Hmm.
But you can just, you know, earlier when you were talking about Arizona, where can they go? Well, they're up. They're undefeated, and they're number one in all of these categories, so there's nowhere else for them to go. Just keep doing what they're doing. The rest of the teams, the rest of that top five, you know, those are, you know, all of those except the Bills are, you know, NFC teams. That's going to be a rough go for any of those teams. It's going to be really interesting this year. It's going to be who can stay healthy and who can get on-field advantage.
That's true. We were saying that I think that they're trending up, like they're continuing to trend up too, Gary. Thanks for that too. As far as what they're doing, because again, at some point you got to realize that this is a for real team and that they're not going to sneak it up on anybody, you know, at this juncture too. So, you know, but they just keep on playing extremely well. And Kyler Murray, like we keep talking about, he's definitely looking like the MVP, if you will. You know, obviously got to count Derrick Henry into that too, as well. And what's happening right now too, but just, Dak Prescott as well. So you're just really, you know, Tom Brady's doing his thing too. And we're talking about how he's performing. I was talking to a buddy of mine. Just if you watch Tom, that dude is just so freaking deadly accurate, man. It's uncanny how when he makes a decision, it's just like, you know, like I know we hate, there's a love hate relationship for him, but that you got to respect the game. Like, damn, every
ball comes out
ball,
fast too.
There's nothing you can do, man. The defensive back turns, the ball's already there. There's nothing you can do to prevent that, you know. So he's making everyone
look
good.
You do anything for 20 years,
you know.
Do anything for 20 years, you should be good at. Okay? That's the one thing. The other thing is, you know, there's the rules are in favor of a quarterback to be able to go and play a long career. There is still some luck involved with people rolling over you and things like that. But as far as the days when, you know, like say, you know, Montana before Brady came along, arguably, people said he was the GOAT at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He played in a different time. He played in a time where you could level a quarterback. You could grab a quarterback and throw his ass to the ground. Now,
and Leonard Marshall leveled
Brady is a tall guy and a big guy.
Yes,
he's not really a physical guy. And I think if you put a Brady in a different era, I think he played just like the rest of them, you know, that 10 to 12 year mark, and he'd be beat up enough where he'd want to leave. But there have been rules for him to protect not only him, but because of him, protect other quarterbacks. You know, that's what's helped him in that in this 20-year career.
I think Yeah, he was in there. Yeah, he was in there at the beginning, too, though. Go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off, sir.
Too, he touched on the fact that that actually helped him with his career. You know, the rules have worked out to his advantage. So that's a really good point, Gary. I mean, he actually touched on that himself about how the rules of the game have just really protected the quarterbacks. I mean, I've said this many times, man. They've almost put skirts on the quarterbacks. You know, you can't, you only hit them a certain kind of way. And, I mean, you know, but it definitely has prolonged his career. And that's a very good point compared to the quarterbacks of old. They're not taking those vicious hits, you know, except the ones that are running, the ones that are running and not sliding and things of that nature. It's just not taking – you got to give him credit, too. He takes care of his body. He's very mindful of what he puts into his body, too. Obviously, we handle the Tampa Bay Buccaneers charter, man. They have Chick-fil-A for all the players, and he just walked right past the Chick-fil-A for you. He doesn't need to eat it. And and the rest of the players be devouring it, but he just walked right past it. So he's very mindful of what he puts in, of what he puts into his body. But
then
as far as the top five,
right?
I got five NFC teams in my top five too. And mine looks like Arizona 1, Tampa 2, Green Bay 3, Rams 4, the Cowboys 5. And I got Tennessee and Buffalo just on that outside looking in, right along with Cincinnati. Right on that outside looking into that top five right now.
I just want to ask, I hear what y'all are saying. I don't understand how you have the Buccaneers ahead of the Rams when they both have a loss, but the Rams beat the Bucs. I know everybody loves Tom Brady, and he's the great story, but the last time I checked, the Rams beat the Bucs, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I will put a little bit more weight into
two
that.
Of them,
the Rams
in two of those polls that I told you, in two of those polls, in the USA Today and in the Sports Nation poll, they had Rams at number two. Both of those.
Yeah.
ESPN had Tampa at two.
Yeah.
I will put a little bit more weight into that if the Rams went to Tampa and won that game. But then you got to look at who the Rams lost to, too.
That's true. That's true.
Well, we got a lot of football left. And for me, I'm going with the teams that I really believe have no excuse for winning their division. Green Bay, Buffalo, Dallas, they should be fighting for home game throughout the playoffs.
And Tampa.
Because they're in business that they better win. Now, Arizona looks like the best team in the league. But that division, can they win that division? They may not. The Rams may not win that division. That division is still in the balance. Tennessee's division is still in the balance. Every other division is still in the balance. Every one of them, except for those three.
You know what?
Bay,
and what
Buffalo and
what
Dallas.
Curtis was saying about the NFC West is, to me, and we've talked about this, of these teams. Go ahead, Rob, end it, and we'll talk about it on the OT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports for the 12th man. I just mentioned earlier you got to look at who the Rams lost to, too. The Rams lost to Arizona. So it's not like they lost to a champ team. So it's definitely a valid point with the Rams, but I still think I would put a little bit more stock into it if the Rams went to Tampa Bay and won that game. But definitely some valid points there. But ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to be back on the air live on next Tuesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time in Charlotte. That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time in Chicago. Once y'all send me some of that deep dish frozen pizza. Hey, boys, y'all got to get it together, man. You got to get rid of the KKK out of that, man. But, we want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 9 p.m. in Boise, on the Mountain Time Zone. And then, of course, in our favorite city, Fresno, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure y'all tune in on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our live portion. We can't give it to you live. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. I'm sorry. We can't give it to you live, so click on the same link the rest of the week. And you'll get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
I thought it hilarious they leaked the news that Southern Miss was going to join the Sun Belt Conference. Like, who gives a damn? What's that going to change?
Guess what, guys?
All right. Hey, y'all heard it, America.
Yeah, don't tell nobody. We going to the sub zone, child. Woo-hoo. So we're going to double from 1 million to 3 million. Good job, Southern Miss.
Right. Y'all heard it, America.
Damn, it's all tied
Hattiesburg,
up.
Mississippi.
It's
Hattiesburg,
six to six.
Mississippi is our new Fresno
no,
on the
not.
Show
now. No,
Hattiesburg,
not.
Mississippi.
Yeah, come Hattiesburg on, man. Get out of
not care.
The people at Hattiesburg don't care. They still don't matter. <care. laughs> It's funny.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, the point I was going to make real quick, gentlemen, is, you know, with that NFC West, when you've got two teams in there that are like your lower teams, you know, it's not like the Cowboys division where you got Philadelphia and the Giants that are, you not have nothing going on. You know, you've got Seattle and you got the 49ers. On any given day, those two teams can absolutely beat the other teams in their division, even on the road. That's what's scary about that division, is because I think that division could just end up beating up itself.
Yep.
No, agreed. That's the division.
And Arizona beat the Rams in L.A. too and whipped them like 37-20.
Oh yeah, no, they got off in L.A.
Yeah,
shit. I'll give you that. They're number one without a doubt.
Yeah. Like I said. Think, hey,
I'm sure that next Arizona game, the Rams have that circled on their calendar, especially those defensive linemen. They'd love to get a piece of that Murray if they can catch him.
Oh, yeah.
They had the Joe Judge thing. They can't even see him. Where's he at? Oh, damn, there he is. Like, he's, like, so small they can't even see him. He's, like, hiding behind the offensive lineman. He's, like, doing, like, darts. Like, how the hell would I do that?
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Oh, man. Hey, we're going to ask this to JQ, and then we're going to let you pick a topic and wrap up the show. Did the Bengals make the right decision in taking Chase over Sewell, JQ? Because I know you were a huge advocate at the time of getting some offensive line help, and I know Rob had 50,000 mock drafts about Chase and getting an offensive lineman later. So how do you feel about what's been happening so far?
Well, yeah, when we talked about it, right, so, like, I changed my tune as we started to get closer to the draft because I started to think more about it, and you can still get a solid quality offensive lineman second, third round. Carmen Jackson's actually started to play a lot better now that he got his fat ass in the shape. I don't know what he was going through in the offseason. But he's actually been playing good ball for them. But when you get a chance to get a generational talent at wide receiver, you got to swing for the fence on that. And you look at it, Sewell's kind of been a little up and down in Detroit. Now, he's not the reason why, they don't have any wins. I'm not going to say that by any stretch. But in the games I've seen him play, he's shown glimpses, and then he's gotten beat, So it's not like he's coming in and just locked down one side of Detroit where you're like, that was a home run. He's still got some work left to do. But when you got somebody that can take a five-yard slant and go through three dudes and take it 82 yards to the house, you got to take a chance on that guy. Especially with the report he has with Burrow, and I played a lot into
Burrow.
It. I don't know if they take Chase if he doesn't play with Burrow at LSU. Well, you pair them together,
right,
and you see the chemistry they had, and not to say that always translates to the NFL. They clearly have a connection, on the field and off the field, and it just was blossoming. So, knock on wood, they can keep it going. But I think at this point, you got to say that it was the right decision. Also giving away to Carmen Jackson has played, because Carmen Jackson isn't able to step in to play guard with the injuries they had, and Burrow gets knocked down and gets hurt, then you don't have Jamar Chase setting these kind of rookie records so far. So it's the yin and yang of both of them doing what they're supposed to do. But I would say right now, hopefully both those guys have long careers, so we can't judge it on such a small sample size to say definitively that was the right thing. But I think so far you got to go with taking Chase. I mean, he's such an acting a fool.
Yeah.
He made Marlon Humphreys look regular.
Yeah.
Such a perfect storm.
Booker McFarland said it best last night. He says, LSU may not beat Alabama on the football field in college this year, but LSU certainly beat Alabama's ass on the football field on Sunday with Chase and Humphreys.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That's almost a perfect storm, too.
Yeah. It's an astounding yes. It's an astounding yes that the Bengals made the right decision there. I mean, we're talking six games so far, but as we look at it right now, or seven games rather, as we look at it right now, it's an astounding yes. I mean, the numbers that Chase is putting up is beating Justin Jefferson's stats from last year. It's beating Randy Moss stats as a rookie as well. I mean, phenomenal. 700 some yards as a rookie in seven games. 201 yards this past Sunday.
Yeah. I had him on my fantasy. I was pretty excited about that. Yeah, I was like, yoo-hoo. Yeah. I was going to say, too, talk about the perfect storm.
As good as Trayvon Diggs is for Dallas right now, and Trayvon Diggs is playing like the defensive MVP. Chase gave him the business in college. I mean, Diggs could not cover. If you go back and watch the games, Diggs could not cover Jamar Chase in college.
A lot of people
Chase
couldn't cover
gave him the business.
AJ Terrell couldn't cover him. A lot of people can cover him, though, Robin.
No, AJ can cover
him. That's the thing, too. I was going to say that's the thing that you talk about the perfect storm, JQ, because if Joe Burrow wasn't hurt last year, you wouldn't, again, have the opportunity to draft Jamar Chase this year. And as much as I'm a fan of Kyle Pitts.
I don't know. They still probably would have sucked. They might have. I don't know if I could say that.
Yeah, but that's good. But I'm saying that definitely made sure that you're in that situation. But as much as I like Kyle Pitts, I was still like, man, I was on the Jamar Chase bandwagon, like, man, that would look good in the Falcon F4 too, but obviously we got Pitts, and, you know, but it's just one of the situations where I'm like, I knew that dude was going to be amazing, just seeing him, I was like, that dude is a beast.
Yeah.
You know, as a freshman, he was killing everyone's ass, you know, I knew this dude was going to be, so I'm kind of like, damn, you know, but, I mean, obviously the potential of what Pitts is going to be, but still, like, I still kind of was secretly hoping that somehow we would have gotten Chase through the thought that. That looked good too, but I don't think he'd be breaking any records with Dawkins as he was with the Bengals. That's kind of a better fit, but it's just I was like, you know, like, damn, that'd look good too as well, man. You know, so man.
But you see, the Dawkins GM, you know, Jamar Chase took a year off from college football, so that's a tough one. Right?
I don't give a damn.
How did you come back?
That dude was killing as a freshman. That dude was killing as a freshman. Drew, there's called the eye test, bro. You can look at that dude, and that dude's gonna be the beast.
Kyle Pitts has just come off a great college season. I could see that one being a tough one for the Falcons, you know, which, you know, I think there's a little bit of question mark about Chase, you know, how does he come off season not playing at all? Mm-hmm.
Nah, bro. You saw his workout. You saw him as a freshman, bro. Come on, man. I'm an average. I'm not even a talent evaluator. We can see that. We ain't stupid, bro. You can see that. So that dude's gonna be. I'm telling you. Come on, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, I know when the year they won a national championship, Chase was a sophomore and Jefferson was a junior, and as good as Jefferson was, Chase was better. Yeah.
Exactly.
In that year, Chase was better.
Yeah, that dude was lighting up senior defensive backs and at out like same thing. So you knew he was going to be good. It's just, you know, he has a swagger. You know, he's almost like a Steve Smith mixed with Randy Moss. It's just too much shit, man. There's no way that no one knew that he was going to be good. So I mean, as much as you talk about the hype and the unicorn or what, there's certain people you just know are going to be good. So you know, I'm going to get that off that horse. But I'm happy for you, JQ. Bottom line is that, you know, I think what's supposed to happen with Burrow and Chase. That's kind of like the perfect storm. You know, that, you know, they just have that connection, chemistry, and that's going to be, if he stays healthy, that's going to be a nightmare team. And so you guys got a great tandem. So just continue to, you know, protect Joe Burrow. Phenomenal win versus a Ravens team that was, you know, kicking ass too. So you're like, man, it was a statement game.
Yeah.
You know, they have to just continue that momentum, but you know, Bengals are definitely on the right path. You know, so you should be very happy as far as everything too, man.
Getting Trey Henderson from the Saints, too. That was a good move. He's providing that pass rush for him on defense, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys cornerback. I can't predict his last name. I wasn't real sure about it. But he's been playing pretty good at cornerback for the Bengals. So, I give him a little credit. They drafted well, and they found some. And I give him credit. And I'll shut up here. I'll let y'all have the rest of it. They were saying they wanted to go get free agents from teams that came from teams that had won, so they could come and help change the culture. So getting him from the Cowboys getting Hinton from the Steelers. You know, like those key pieces they try to get Henderson from the Saints so they can come in and see some of those young kids with preparation and try to win. So, you know, they've had a perfect storm.
Fucking Will Smith. No,
he's
not this is why I hate Will Smith. No, man, he was foul, man. Fuck Will Smith, Ozzy.
Oh.
I hate Will Smith, man. That's just me. Come on, man.
Sorry.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, I give you. I appreciate the love, fellas. So I'll let y'all have the rest of it. I'll be quiet.
You're going to clown, man.
No, I mean, I appreciate the love. Y'all let me have a couple minutes here. I let y'all get y'all's get your top yourself. Nobody wants to talk about the Bengals all the time. I get it.
I'm with you. Outside of the Saints, that's one of my favorite teams, you know. So.
Because half the players from LSU are playing for freaking Bengals. So
yeah.
It's
true.
Of course.
We got a lot of LSU players in the Falcons, Rob.
Oh, you know, that's another story, you know. It came full. It came full of the truck.
We got a ton of LSU players in the Falcons, man. Come on over, man.
Yeah.
We said, nah. That's
another story.
Man, we had a situation. We drafted Chad Lavallee. We didn't draft Georgia players. We drafted LSU players. I'm like, what in the Sam hell? What's going on? We didn't have no Georgia players. We have drafted all LSU players. I'm like, what the hell is happening?
And the Saints don't draft LSU players.
They don't. That's wild.
They in the backyard.
Yeah. I think
they can draft Ohio State players, but they don't draft
I think the
Saints,
we got one
players.
LSU player on our team, and he's a backup center. We'll collapse. I think he's the only LSU player on the team.
Oh, my
I think
God.
They know them boys will be too close to home, and they won't act right. That's why they don't draft. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of how it shakes up in the draft sometimes, too. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
We didn't have a chance to get Burrow or Chase because of where we were picking. So, I mean, I think it just, you know, it just so happened to be how it shakes up sometime in the draft.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, but
damn, Will Smith,
you're
making shit
topic,
interesting.
You know, we got a couple of NFL matchups. Obviously, a big one on Thursday night this week. The Packers at the Cardinals. Obviously, the Packers 6-1. Cardinals 7-0. Obviously, when you look at the Packers right now, Davante Adams questionable if he's going to play or not. You know, I think he needs at least two straight days of negative COVID tests in order to come back and play. And then you know you lose Allen Lazard as well. So, I mean, if I had to make a prediction today, I'm going to go with Arizona just for that simple fact. They're at home. And Arizona actually has played better on the road in these 7 wins than they have at home. But I look for them to still win this game at home. When Green traveling all the way to Arizona in a short week, you know, you may not have two of your better receivers for Green Bay. I think it's going to be tough. I like Arizona at home.
It's going to be a great
and
game.
Then the second
it's going to be a great
one,
game.
Buccaneers,
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a whooping.
Okay.
You know,
great game.
As much as I want the Saints to win, I can't see the Saints scoring enough points to beat the Buccaneers in this one. And Tom Brady's hot, so obviously I'm gonna pick the Buccaneers. I think they win 27-17 or 27-20, somewhere in that ballpark. Just don't think the Saints are gonna be able to score enough points just yet to compete with them. So those are my NFL predictions for those two games.
I can't wait to see Mike Evans and Lattimore. That is going to be must-see TV. Them two dudes do not like each other. They might get into a fight. The over-under or what? 5 minutes into the game before they get into a fight? I don't know what the hell is going on with Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans, but they do not like each other.
They do not.
That's never
have. And the thing about it is, you know, I would say what's the over-under on how many scuffles they get into? I'm going to say the over-under.
You're the Yankees team.
Three
to that
five.
Andre Johnson and your boy threw that.
I mean,
they can get to five.
Because Lattimore Metcalf was going at it last night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
oh,
Marshawn Lattimore is clearly a jerk. I say four is the over-under, one per quarter.
He's clearly a jerk. Hey, I noticed like Lou jumped off really fast, man. Was that because the way that the Patriots whipped on the Jets, man? Like, how are you going to get something like that, man? Like he's like,
damn, Andre.
I'm just saying, that was an ass kicking, man. Come on, man. Curb stomp.
54
on the board. Like, I'm out. He said,
yes.
Yeah, they put 54 on the board. I was like, what the hell? I thought that the Bears and the Patriots, or Bears and the Buccaneers was pretty bad, but that the Patriots, Jets.
Oh, yeah.
They sold them like they
it
sold
was bad,
them,
bad.
Man. Like, I'm gonna, oh, man. Zach Wilson, like, why am I here? I see ghosts. I see everything. Come on.
Are you guys all still high on the Patriots this year? You guys still, because before the season started, you guys were all bullish for the Patriots. Are you guys all still? They brought in the people, and you guys. Still,
I think that was before they cut Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was before they cut Cam Newton. But we talked about it. All the top teams are in the NFC. So not to win a division, I think we all would sit here and think, say Buffalo wins the division, right? But maybe challenge for the last playoff one, because I thought Miami would be one to challenge for it. Now they're sitting at 1-5. So, you know, I don't trust the Colts. I feel like the Titans run away with that one. The West, Kansas City's struggling. I don't know if Oakland or Oakland. Las Vegas takes the course. Denver's come back. So I think the Chargers still win that one. Hopefully my Bengals can stay there with the Ravens and the Browns. So you got a spot. That last one open.
Yeah.
I think that's where their ceiling is that last wild card.
They'll get playoffs.
Watch the Colts, though. I think the Colts can make a run. I really do. I don't think they win the division.
Carson Wentz going to stuff his coat getting out the shower, bro.
Slow and they make a run again. And they're getting hot.
I just don't trust nothing about Carson Wentz, bro.
You know, because Curtis has been, you know, when he was in the NFC with the Eagles, Curtis was like, he's better than Dak. He's that. And I always argued with him about that. Then we're over there and we're watching the game. And I was only over Curtis's for probably a half an hour just to watch the train wreck happen. It was awesome. I said, see, this is what I'm talking about. You still think he's better than Dak?
Yeah.
Curtis?
No.
Injuries. Like injuries derailed him, man.
As all the pundits that I watch all day say that after the injury, there has probably not been a man in the NFL that is improved and focused and desired to be the best he could. Then Dak injury woke him up, made him a better leader and a better football player. But let me tell you something, because that Frank Wright got that Carson Wentz at the Colts, Tennessee looks good, but the Colts, if they win that division, it's going to be because of Carson Wentz. They got Carson Wentz.
That's a big if, bro.
Yeah, for one reason. To beat them damn Tennessee Titans.
I think Tennessee wins the division. I think Indianapolis has a chance to making it as a wild card. I think they got a chance. I'm not saying they will. I think they can make a run. When you look at the way they're playing a lot better. They're running the football. Jonathan Taylor's been a beast. The offensive line's getting healthy again. And defense is playing better. And they really should have beat the Ravens on that Monday night game, the Colts. They really blew it. This would have been three games in a row that they would have won if they would have pulled that one out somehow. But, it's a game that they blew. I'm sure they would like to have it back. And they will be at least 500 right now, I think, on that game behind Tennessee if they would have won that game. But I think they got a chance as a wild card, but Tennessee is looking too strong. Derrick Henry is just running over people, man. It's just it's insane. They can get the passing game going with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. If Julio can stop getting injured hamstrings, you know, seems like he's been used that done for like 4 years now. we'll see. If they can get the passing game going, the counter with Derrick Henry going defensively, they're getting it going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
JQ, who wins Michigan at Michigan State?
Who? Well, you know who I want to win. I don't know. That is a pretty even game. That Michigan State team, they got like 30 dudes out of the transfer portal. Like, they got more speed and weapons than any Michigan State team I can remember. It's at Michigan State, so I'm gonna go with Michigan State.
I agree. I've been. That's I agree with you. That's a tough call, though. I think it's going to be a close football game, but I'm picking Michigan State to pull out a squeaker. And Mel Tucker is a sleeper for these head coaching positions, too. You know, I think he could be a guy that gets into these LSU, USC conversations, too, possibly. But
that's
right.
Follow Nick Saban's footsteps. That'd be a Nick Saban move. Michigan State to LSU.
But I agree. I think Michigan State squeaks this one out in a close one. I can see something like a 23-20, a 26-23 kind of game, something like that, or they could squeak this one out at home.
I agree. If it was in Ann Arbor, I probably would have taken Michigan. But since it's in the East Lansing, I'm going to go with Michigan State.
Same
hey,
here. I like Ole Miss
you know.
Over Auburn on the road. I think Ole Miss go to Auburn and win this weekend, too.
I agree.
Hey, speaking of Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin has put his name back into the USC job hat, by the way. So he's ready to go back
Shit.
Into USC.
you know what's crazy? LSU fans, the fans at LSU want are asking for Nick Saban. I mean, not Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin.
I was going to say, they are.
Hey, gentlemen, I got to go.
Fans at LSU.
Have a nice evening.
Good night, there, Gary.
Bro.
Hope all is well.
Yep, thank you.
We ain't far behind you.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. I was just talking junk, man. So you know, it's all good. Oh man. Well, like I said, again, much love, gentlemen. I know it's been a long day as it is, man. So we'll keep this going. I think we want to just definitely pump up JQ, man, for the Bengals, and you know, my Braves pulled it off too, man. So you know. Man, that was definitely stressful.
Good win,
I hate
Drake.
Will Smith, driving the DM wall, man. You know,
man the game started at 8 o'clock and it just ended after midnight, almost 12:30. Man, the game was like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, they got to stop that, man. They got to figure something out. It's crazy.
I don't even know anymore. All right, gentlemen. Good job. Good stuff, Rob. Thanks for putting the topic together, too. Appreciate you guys. You know, till next week, we'll keep this going. I know we're going to have a busy weekend as well, too. But stay safe. Don't let those trick-or-treaters get too crazy out there if you guys are doing that. And, it is what it is, man. You know? That's all I got, man.
Who that?
All right, bro.
I hope to be at the game in New Orleans this weekend.
Are you? Okay.
I'm planning on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You watch that butt kicking in person.
All right, fellas.
Hey, I'm hoping for the upset. Good night, fellas.
All right, y'all.
You better hope it's up. Tom Brady gets sick. That's the way that's going to happen, man.
Keep hope alive, man. You know.
Keep hope alive.
Yep.
All right, Jesse.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right,
good
job.
Good night, fellas.
I can't with y'all. Good night.
Later, y'all.